by Melanie Payne and Suni Lee. Melanie Payne has her MPH from Emory University. As an epidemiologist for Clark County Public Health in Vancouver, Washington, her duties include community health assessments, program evaluation, and human subjects review. Suni Lee also received her MPH from the Emory University. As an epidemiologist at Clark County Public Health Division, her work ranges from public health accreditation, efforts to communicable diseases, investigations, and preparedness planning.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. I know there are a lot of other presentations to go to, so we appreciate you coming out to hear us. Melanie and I want to acknowledge our co-authors, Kimberly Rep and Maya Bott, who were very instrumental to the work that was done. And we are going to talk to you today about the influence of quantitative data in the prioritization of health issues and the development of strategies to work around a regional community health needs assessment across a multi-sector partnership and explain the value of these data in guiding a hospital-driven community priority setting process. So to give you a little background, Healthy Columbia Willamette, or HCW, is a large public-private collaborative whose purview encompasses the four-county Portland-Vancouver metropolitan region. And these four counties have a mix of urban, suburban, and rural populations. And they are the counties are Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties in Oregon, and Clark County in Washington State. For those of you who aren't quite so familiar with the Pacific Northwest, there are two major rivers, the Columbia and the Willamette Rivers, which cross-cut the region, making for a very appropriate name for the collaborative itself. So HCW originated from discussions between the four local public health departments and 14 not-for-profit hospitals within the region, who realized that they had converging interests in developing community health assessments and health improvement plans in response to public health accreditation and the Federal Affordable Care Act. Basically, that they needed to complete health needs assessments every 3 to 5 years. The summer of 2013 ushered in two other partners, two coordinated care organizations, which are Oregon's effort to meet ACA requirements for serving Medicaid beneficiaries. And these CCOs had similar requirements to complete community health needs assessments every 3 years. So although each of these entities have very specific requirements, the vision of this group was to align these regional endeavors and be able to thereby eliminate duplicative efforts. In order to complete a unified community health needs assessment, HCW used a modified version of NACHO's Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships model, otherwise known as MAPS. The standard model uses four assessments, and these are the community themes and strengths, health status, local community health system, and forces of change assessments. The modified model that HCW used retained the quantitative health status assessment with three community engagement components, which were, number one, the community themes and strengths assessment, and then secondly, we had a combined local community health system and forces of change assessment, and then we also included an additional component, which were community listening sessions to verify the prioritized issues with individual community members. Once we had a list of prioritized issues, we solicited input from content experts about best practices and got insight from them as to how HCW could effectively impact these prioritized issues. So now our focus is to look at the health status assessment and the analysis of quantitative data to prioritize community health needs. For each county, we analyzed health outcome and health behavioral indicators that we got from publicly available data sources. The list of indicators were then prioritized systematically by creating scores according to 6 analysis criteria. And these were looking at them by racial ethnic disparities, by gender disparities, comparison to either the Oregon or Washington state values. And we also analyzed by trend, the magnitude of the population affected, and the severity of the health associated health consequences. The indicators were ranked by score for each county, and then a regional score was created by taking an average of each of the 4 county scores. So, and then we also recognize that not everybody speaks in the language of indicators like we epidemiologists do, and so we group the indicators into health issues. So here are the regional results, and to help you get oriented a bit, the left and middle columns show the regional health, behavioral, and health outcome indicators, and the corresponding 6 broad health issues, which were access to affordable health care, sexual health, mental health, including substance abuse, injury, cancer, and chronic disease related to nutrition and physical activity. The solid lines that connect the indicators to the issues represent stronger relationships based on robust scientific studies, while the dotted lines represent weaker links. So basically, for example, smoking, we know, is related to heart disease deaths, but males who binge drink may or may not have subsequent mental health issues or injury deaths. As we'll see next, these 6 health issues, along with issues that arose from the community engagement components, were brought forward for consideration to the larger HCW group. However, in order to make the cut and be selected for strategy development, a health issue had to have all of the following characteristics. It needed to be prioritized from the quantitative data from the health status assessment. It needed to be named by at least 2 of the 3 community engagement components. And then it had to be one of the 5 most expensive issues in the MSAs within the Western United States. And also, there had to be evidence-based, evidence-informed practices that were available. And importantly, issues were not excluded. Just because the data were not available did not automatically exclude an issue from being considered. So this chart basically summarizes those selection criteria. And may resonate a little bit with those of you who are more visual learners in putting all the pieces together. So on the left, you'll see the 9 health issues that were identified by either the quantitative data from the health status assessment or the 3 community engagement components from the modified MAP model that we used. And of note, you may recall from the quantitative results that mental health and substance abuse were considered together as 2 issues, but for the selection process, we divided them into 2 separate issues. And then on the right, you'll see again: is the issue a driver of regional healthcare costs? And again, as we want to be able to, the collaborative wants to be able to do something about it. Are there policy, healthcare, or community-related practices that are available for the collaborative to have a mark of influence upon. So once the selection criteria were applied, we are left with access to affordable healthcare, chronic disease related to nutrition and physical activity, mental health, and substance abuse, around which we are now in the midst of developing regional strategies.
Thank you. So somebody's talked to you about what happened over the past year or so leading up to where we are now. And I'm going to tell you where we are now with the big caveat of it's nothing's exactly final. We're sort of in the stages of nailing it down and figuring it all out. But it also speaks to the process we've been through as we're figuring it out as we go. So I'm going to kind of walk you through this. I want to orient you a little bit to the slides and explain. They'll be similar. So For each focus area, we have a vision and a goal and then a proposed strategy. I also want to show that on the far left side are the indicators from the quantitative indicators that brought forward that helped get this issue in the prioritized list. Let me just back up a second and say that, again, this is that very higher level view, maybe 10,000 feet view of what can the Healthy Columbia Willamette partners do, could they buy into, and can they work around together? So again, we're trying to find those collaborative efforts. Substance abuse and mental health, as Sunny mentioned, through some of the process were together, some of the process they were separated. I want to think of them as, for our process, the focus area is behavioral health, but we recognize both issues, and I'm going to show you the other one in a minute. Being that they're very interrelated, they're often conditions of comorbidity, but we recognize, too, that they each have individual drivers and individual strategies to address them. Also, when communities spoke of them, they often spoke of them together as coexisting conditions. So I want to be sensitive to that. For substance abuse, this one's fairly straightforward. The indicators brought forward were those of binge drinking, particularly in male adults, and drug-related deaths. So our overall vision here was to reduce the frequency and severity of substance abuse. For our goal, we chose to focus on the drug portion and specifically on opiate overdoses. This is a big issue in our area. And for the strategies, the collaborative is working towards adoption of uniform prescription guidelines. I know some of that's happening around the country as well, so it may resonate in your area. When we move forward to looking at mental health, this is one of the areas I was referencing. We have to kind of put the brakes on a little bit. We have to do a little more work in here. So with this, the overall vision is to reduce the suffering and deaths from mental illness. Recognize we can't prevent all mental illness, but we can hopefully reduce the suffering of those affected. The indicator brought forward on this is the suicide rate. So we know we want to do something around suicide, and that is essentially to identify and reduce factors related to local suicides in our area. We haven't quite gotten to the proposed strategy yet, so that's a work in progress. Our group, I'll just reference real quick, meets once a month, and at this point we'll have some working on some ways to make the work move a little quicker, but you can see that we have energy, but it's limited as well. Those two together make up that behavioral health bucket, so there's three buckets I'm going to talk about. And again, recognizing that mental health and substance abuse are different, but they're very linked. But we didn't want the mental health strategies to eclipse the substance abuse problems. And we heard that loud and clear through our content expert, when the content expert spoke to us, and their expert opinions was, particularly from the substance abuse experts, was that often it will get absorbed into that mental health world. So we wanted to recognize them as different. So the second bucket is access to care. And with this, again, you'll see the indicators brought forward, which had to do with prenatal care, health insurance, and primary, a usual source of care, or a medical care home. So with this, as most of us, we want to see that people have access to affordable health care, and more importantly, culturally competent affordable health care. We want to support with our goal of widespread health enrollment into insurance expansion programs going on. Is there anyone in this room that's not sort of peripherally working on health enrollment or health care expansion, or doesn't feel that somebody they know very personally is? So I think, I didn't see any hands go up. I think we're all working around this. And as the collaborative, we recognize this. In fact, it was a point of discussion about what can we do that's not already happening. But what we did think was that we are in a unique position. Again, as Sunny referenced, this is the four public health departments in these four counties. It's seven hospital health systems representing our 14 hospitals and our two coordinated care on the Oregon side, the Medicaid system, to help look and identify populations, subpopulations that may be lagging in that enrollment and the enrollment efforts, help identify them and help outreach to them. We felt that's an area we could actually help with to support that enrollment. The third bucket is chronic disease, specifically nutrition and physical activity. So this one is definitely a work in progress. As you'll see, I don't have anything up there except the indicators. So this is an example of we're working through this as we go. The indicators brought forward were the adult fruit and vegetable consumption and the physical activity. But the indicators that were brought up through the content expert input were breastfeeding and tobacco. So interestingly enough, tobacco was one of our prioritized indicators through the health status assessment, but it didn't stay in, when we got to focus areas, it didn't move forward in the focus area of cancer. So I want to use breastfeeding real quickly as an example, just to show what we're dealing with through our process. So from the quantitative side and the data that we have, we looked at very standardly used and available public health data sets, morbidity, mortality, the adult and youth surveys that are available. Breastfeeding indicators were not part of what we looked at. So they never were kind of on the page to be looked at in the beginning. If we were to stick with breastfeeding as one of our indicators, we'd have to drop indicators that were already prioritized, our fruits and vegetable consumption and our physical activity. And then also members from the collaborative, including, I mean, again, hospital, not just public health people, we're talking about, but we need data to be able to evaluate and to know where we're going. As an epidemiologist, that was very lovely to hear, I have to say. There were other things that we had to consider, too, in weighing this option is that this issue was proposed by our content experts with the view of what could we as the collaborative do to help this area. So that we want to consider that. It's also strongly within the scope of the areas of the partners. It's evident there's an evidence for it, of course, and there was a lot of support. So that left us with, and we're still here, what do we do? Well, I don't know. Where do we go with this? Do we go back to our original indicators that were brought forward? Do we go with what the content experts led us to? Or do we do some combination of those? And seriously, this is where we are, because even a meeting this week is when this will be talked about more. But I want to leave you just with that we're trying through our collaborative efforts to close the data gaps within this 4-county region. Again, as Sunny mentioned, it's very diverse across the 4 counties. We have issues across county lines and across state lines that we're trying to work on that. And some of that's to close the data gaps. So we do have data available in the form we need it for the groups we need it. And some of that is to get at data that's less available for culturally identified communities that we often don't have data, and we recognize that, to maybe put some funding into doing some additional survey work or something like that to supplement what we already have. I want to just leave you with that the quantitative assessment work really has grounded the work of the collaborative. It helped set direction, it's helped guide us to where we are, and it'll help us in the future with measurement and evaluation efforts. So it's really did help with selecting the criteria and the decision-making process. And again, it was different people around the table that would often bring it back to that. Well, what do the data say? And then also that it really is a new process that there's not a roadmap for this. We're figuring it out. The collaborative is fairly young, and there really aren't any right or wrong decisions. We're just trying to move forward with what is very thoughtful and a deliberate process to, which is in the not the best interest of the partners, but of the communities that we serve. So I want to mention real quickly that, of course, Sunny and I, we could answer any questions you have, but also in the audience is our convener of the collaborative. Chris, could you raise your hand? Okay. So Christine is our, we have a neutral convener for this collaborative. She's amazing with the work she does and keeps us all on track. And she's actually presenting tomorrow afternoon, later in the day, I forget the session number, but about the collaborative itself, if it's anything you're interested in. And I just want to mention, too, the website, healthycolumbiawillamette.org. is our regional landing page. So all the partners have a link to this page. It has some indicator data on each of the counties. I want to, with the caveat of that's not all the data we use by any means. And also, more importantly, though, I think, is it has a link to all of our reports that are available and information about the collaborative itself. So, thank you.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes left for questions. I'm going to ask all the presenters to please come up and join the panel. And it looks like we have a question in the back.
The indicator process was a very complicated one, which is a whole different sort of talk. We, in all, I think across the four counties, there were probably about 120 indicators that we looked at. I don't recall specifically ones that were environmental health. Again, the data we looked at were mortality, birth death data, and the survey data of youth and adults. Some, we had some demographic data. So I don't remember specifically. It's something I could look at if you're interested. But we did. We certainly were focusing in on health behaviors and health outcomes as our indicators to get away from just to focus it more on what we could do and what we had access to. Again, trying to keep it consistent across the counties and the two states as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Same person.
Thinking about the nutrition physical activity versus breastfeeding, which is a part of obesity prevention, you probably reach a lot more of your population looking at increasing fruit and vegetable and physical activity. I'm wondering if that's something you're considering.
Well, the discussion is happening this month, so I'll have to get back to you. Honestly, did you have something to say? Okay. Certainly in our indicator selection, magnitude, severity were part of that, but as far as the strategy reach, I don't know exactly how we're factoring that into. I think it's more of the discussion more than a hard number. Well, I guess this is for me and Sunny as well. We certainly remember at the table we have seven hospital system, health systems representing 14 hospitals across four counties. So the triple aim, their requirement to meet the triple aim of improving patient experience, reducing cost and population health. Those are top on our list as far as recognizing. So in any selection, once we got to talking about selection, we knew we had to have a cost component. But it's very hard to figure out how to do this. And again, like there aren't any right or wrong answers. We had to just figure something out. What we settled on for now in this part of the process was the medical expenditure panel survey out of Hearst. I think it's out of Hearst. And it's very loose because it's the whole Western U.S. type of thing. But what we did show was that the conditions we could measure were in the top. So, of course, the access was the oddball because it wasn't really conditions.
Great. In the back in blue.
Project led by Rob and Johnson.
Thank you all again for attending this session. Have a great day.